been in a series, and a series that we've entitled Relationships in Progress. And this being kind of Love Month in February with Valentine's Day and that sort of thing, really, love is more than what the world sees as love. Love is really totally different than what the world sees as love. So as we look in the Bible about love, we also find that love is one of the foundations of relationships. Love is one of the very foundations of relationships. In order to have a good, solid, healthy relationship, godly relationship, we must have love. But there are also other attributes, this week being the third week, that we'll talk about building relationships and relationships in progress. First week we talked about love. Last week we talked about commitment and how much commitment is just as important in our building relationships as love is. And this week we're going to go into part three and talk about that. So you didn't come in at a bad time, you came in at a great time. And if you want to listen to the other previous ones, we've got CDs or YouTube, actually a church app on the Apple and Android programs and also website. And so we're several different places if you want to go back and catch those or any of our services. Also, I do thank the worship team here this morning. I don't normally lead worship anymore. I was, you know, cut my teeth on playing guitar and leading worship and all that, but I've enjoyed just preaching every Sunday. And so when Jordan and Tim aren't here and leading worship, I love it. I enjoy it. But I told the praise team, I said, thank y'all for being here. I wouldn't want to do it without you. And so so just to let you know, I don't normally lead worship and preach too. Thank God. I'm at the age where I enjoy focusing on preaching and kind of being in the background for worship. But thank you, musicians and singers and all that you do. And we look forward to have Tim and Jordan back with us next week. Amen? So you ready for the Word of God today? Let's read out of Colossians 3:23, and then we'll pray, and I'll get into what I believe the Lord would have us to say today. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have together to share, Lord, and to draw closer to you, to hear what you would have to say to us today. Lord, we know that you always want to draw us closer to you, to give us a deeper understanding of who you are. Lord, do that today. We open our minds and our hearts and our spirits to you today, Lord. Cause us to draw close to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How can we have good, wholesome, healthy, godly, solid relationships? Well, today we're going to talk about communication. Communication. If there's one thing that causes failed relationships, whether it's marriages or otherwise, if there's one thing that causes failed relationships, it's lack of communication. Communication is important. I know sometimes we go to God and say, God, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you say something to me? How many know that God has different ways of communicating with us? Speaking to us is certainly one way. His word is another way. Sometimes we have to make an effort to read his word. But communication is important. The definition of communication is this. Looked up in Webster, the communication definition is this: the act or process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, or feelings to someone else. So there are different ways. Some people can't talk, but they can sign. Some people have to write, but there's still communication. Can you imagine being part of a ball team, a sports team, without communication? It wouldn't work. I mean, it barely works now, but talking to each other, communicating with each other, you do this and I'll do this, let's work together. Communication is important for the sake of unity. Communication is important for the sake of doing something together, doing something to accomplish something. Communication is important, and God wants us to communicate. I remember early as a husband, and we celebrate 34 years, I think in a few days, 34 years Saturday, our wedding anniversary, and in my early years of being a husband, I didn't think it was necessary to talk that much. You know, I would listen, but it really, you know, I had to learn to communicate. You say, well, you're kidding. I thought that through osmosis or through actions or through something, she would understand what I was saying. But I learned that I had to actually verbalize and communicate with her in order for her to know what I was thinking. And maybe it's a little more difficult for us guys. Sometimes my answer back is a little short. Yes, no, you know, She wants me to communicate. So communication is important. Effective communication is more than just blurting out words. Sometimes we can just blurt out words just to answer a question, but communication, true communication, involves more than even that. Communication is important. So I want to kind of delve into this morning. There are four levels of communication. The first level of communication is surface communication. Surface. Now, us guys, we don't even have to say anything. When we pass each other in the store, we just kind of nod. And the other one nods back. We know what we're saying. But then others, we say, how are you doing? Doing good. How are you doing? We just keep walking. Well, we've communicated. That's kind of surface communication, you know. You doing good? You know, that's communication to us, you know. And so, you know, we know that we're good with each other when we just communicate like that. There's a second level of communication. That's general information communication. General information communication is, she'll say, Crystal will say, what time's your meeting? 5. That's general communication. I'm feeding her information that she needs. What time are you going to be here for lunch? 12. So what are we doing tonight? I don't know. What's for supper? Another one is, she says, are you really wearing that? And that's another kind of general communication there. But we need to get into a deeper level of communication. The deeper level of communication looks like deeper feelings. What are you truly feeling? Everybody has deep feelings. It's a matter of expressing those deep feelings. Feelings aren't always accurate, but feelings are always real. You know, we can argue with somebody's feelings. You know, in our early years, she'd say something to me. I said, that's not true. She said, well, that's how I feel. I said, no, it's not. That's not how you feel. She said, yes, that's how I feel. So feelings aren't always accurate, but feelings are always real. And so there's deep feelings of communication. There must always be a way of expressing deep feelings. You know that your relationship has to be built to where you can hear those feelings without responding back. Sometimes us guys it's just automatic reaction. We're already thinking of the line that we're going to fit in there whenever she takes a breath, bam, you know. Deep feelings, bam. Cut that off right there. You know, so we're already about 2 days ahead of her, you know, trying to think of what we're going to say back. But we need to have safe environments for deep feelings. There are deep feelings. I have deep feelings. I had to learn how to express those deep feelings. Crystal has deep feelings. Females have deep feelings. And fortunately for them, they don't have as big of an issue to express those deep feelings as us guys do. You know, sometimes we're a little more reserved in our deep feelings. We just try to throw a blanket over it. And I've got deep feelings, but it's out of sight, out of mind, you know. But there's a deeper level of communicating by expressing our deep feelings. And then there's deep needs communication. How many know that it's good to express your needs in a good, safe environment? Now, expressing our needs needs to have a safe environment to where Crystal or even I, we need to be able to express our needs to each other so that we can listen to what our needs are. You know, there may be needs that Crystal has that I'm not aware of. This is an interesting, we do some marriage counseling and some premarital counseling and things like that. But if we were to give Crystal a sheet of paper and say, list 5 needs of Mike, real needs of Mike that you feel like he needs, and then give me a sheet of paper and I say, you tell me to write down 5 deep needs of Crystal that I need to meet. If I were to give that to her, she may say, that's not my needs at all. Are you kidding? I don't need to go ride the motorcycle tomorrow. I don't need to have roast for supper tomorrow night. You know, so needs that I think she needs to be met, I think they're really important. Motorcycles and roast, I mean, what else, you know? But she says, are you kidding? I don't need that. I need this, this, and this. So I think it's interesting sometimes to hear the needs of one another that we know how to meet those needs. Now, there are some needs that we can't meet on the human side, that has to come from God. But what I'm talking about today is our communication with each other. Now, we need to have communication with God. That's forefront. That's first. Jesus Christ, our relationship with him is first, as you've heard me express that every week. That's first and foremost. As a matter of fact, we can't very well express where we are with each other unless we first express our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's, I can't have a solid relationship with Crystal, even after 34 years, unless I first have a great relationship with Jesus. Amen. So that's first and foremost. So that's got to be priority. That's got to be done first. I can't have a relationship with you until I first have a relationship with Jesus. And then a relationship with my family, my wife and family, and then a relationship with you. See how that works? So all those layers are important in life to be able to successfully communicate and to have a relationship back and forth at every level. Personal, business. Our levels of relationship will be so much more successful if we were to get our priorities in order. And I'm preaching another sermon today, but amen, let's stay on track. The best marriages are the ones that we can communicate our deepest needs to. The best relationships are ones that we can be honest with each other about. Sometimes we have a tendency to ignore needs because we don't want to hear it. We think if we ignore it, those needs will go away. As a matter of fact, our deep needs needs to be listened to and talked about and be in a safe environment, to the point that we realize that unless we do our part to meet that need, they will go somewhere else to have that need met. I don't have to spell it out 1, 2, 3. Y'all kind of hear what I'm saying, amen? And so the Lord places in our lives needs that we need to have fulfilled. And one purpose of those needs is for us to draw closer together to work to meet those needs. The Monday morning prayer breakfast that we have, yes, it's great pancakes, but even as greater is our relationship with each other. There's a need being met there that gives a safe, open environment for men to share their hearts that maybe they wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to share. That's meeting a deep need in men. I believe that in our culture today, there's a lack in the church of spiritual fathers, of connecting with God, of connecting with the Word of God. And what we've done is brought a safe environment, a safe, confident environment for men to express where they are and to be honest. And let's see how we can meet those needs and feed into what God would have us to say. And so there are the four different levels of communication, but then there are also hindrances to those communications. Hindrances would be, number one, withdrawal. Withdrawal. Us guys are great at this. We withdraw. In other words, I've said what I'm going to say, put a period there, put it in the file, and we're done talking about it. We withdraw. We either go then into the silent treatment, and that is hilarious when you think about it. I mean, I had a close friend that did that one time, and it didn't turn out good at all. And you may know him. But the silent treatment is where you just do everything you can to ignore the other party, the other person. You say what you want to say, and you're not open to any further discussion. Another level of withdrawal is you get in the car and you leave. That way, I'm not anywhere around to hear what you've got to say. Even though you might be right, I'm not going to admit you're right. So withdrawal, sometimes we disconnect. Well, there's no fruit in withdrawing. It's sometimes when God tells us something that we didn't necessarily want to know, then we pull back from God too. God, surely you can tell me something that I want to hear. Surely you can give me some instruction that it's easy for me to adapt to, rather than something that's contrary to my wants and wishes and where I want to go. So we withdraw. We just kind of unplug. That's a hindrance in communication. We just shut down. Another hindrance in communication is escalation. Where you don't leave, where you don't unplug, where you don't do the silent treatment, you just stay there and, buddy, we're going to hash it out. Put on your boxing gloves and your mouthpiece if you need it, but we're going to go to town. And so when one gets this high, the other one goes this high. When that one goes that high, this one goes that high. So you hear tones. Oh, you get way up there. Hear tones rise. You hear volume rise. You hear louder. You hear, and so escalating, it's really the basis of this is anger. Is because I'm angry, so I'm going to tell you how angry I am. So rather than stepping back and taking a chance to breathe, you escalate to the higher level, and it just continues there, seesaw back and forth. Another hindrance is belittling, where we say, well, you never do this, you never do that. And then we start using words that are hurtful. We start saying things that we shouldn't say. Has anybody ever said anything they shouldn't have said? Okay. Y'all please understand, I'm preaching to myself. I've said things I shouldn't have said. Then another one is, as we do that, we begin to believe false beliefs. We say things that aren't true. We say things that you never do that. Well, that's not true, but that's how I'm feeling at the time. So now I've got to top that. I've got to make you littler than me. I've got to have the upper hand. I've got to make myself, it's really insecurity speaking is what that is. But we begin to believe false belief. We hear that thing that's being said and we believe, even though it's untruth, we believe it is true. See, the devil is the father of all lies. And the same form of communication I'm talking about, even on a human level here, can really get into through a cog in our relationship with God the same way. The devil is the father of all lies. So the devil will tell you, God really doesn't have the best plan for you. If you go by God's plan, it's going to take longer to get there, and I've got a shortcut for you. I can take you there quicker. You can be better off. And so we listen many times to the devil's conversation, and we have a belief of false things, of lies. So he works the same way with our relationship with Jesus. He tells us that we can't have communication together because she just doesn't understand me. She doesn't know where you are. He doesn't know where you are because he's got his mind over here. So we hear all these false beliefs. But our communication speaks loudly of who we are. Our communication, words and actions, and our body language communicates very, very loudly. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, I say to you that every idle word men may speak. Ladies, you're off the hook here. It's only men, right? Every idle word men or women may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified or saved. So it's by our words we'll be saved, and by our words we'll be condemned or punished. Now, if anybody's here today, and those that raised your hands when I said, have you ever said anything that you shouldn't have said? All right, so what we can do is, the same Jesus that forgives our sin is the same Jesus that forgives you for saying those things that you shouldn't have said. So praise God. We're here today that we can go to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for those things, my sins, the things I shouldn't have said, the things I shouldn't have done. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of those things. I'm sorry. I turn from those things and help me to do better. And so the same Jesus to forgive our sins is the same one to forgive those words that we don't want to give an account for. Amen. So his hand's not too short to do that. But what Jesus is saying here, he wants us to realize that our words carry weight. Our words matter. Our words and our action are very, very important. Matter of fact, our words are as important as our actions. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So our words reflect really what's in our heart. And if our words are not speaking what's lined up with the Word of God, then maybe I should take a look at my heart and make sure my heart's right. Amen. But our words are like seeds. What we say will either bring up good fruit or what we say will bring up bad fruit. As a matter of fact, I am the sum total of words that have taken root in my life. I'm the sum total of that right now. You are the sum total of words that's taken root in your life. That's what's brought you up now. Our words are powerful. Our words carry a lot of weight. So Jesus wants us to see that we need to speak. Be careful of what we speak. Be intentional about what we speak. What would happen if we were to start speaking healing? What would happen if we were to start speaking life of blessing? You are blessed. God loves you. I love you. You can do all things through Christ. What would happen if we began to speak those things, healing and speak peace and speak the promises of the Word of God? Speak those things. We're tempted so often to speak the opposite of that. It's our human nature. God said, let there be light. There was such a power in his word when he spoke that, light was brought about. He actually spoke light into existence. That's the power of your word in your own life. Matter of fact, what you say about yourself goes into your spirit too, goes into your ears, goes into your heart. Be careful about what you say about yourself, because that's important. Our words are important. A quote by George Bernard Shaw says, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. I've been guilty of that. I thought I communicated until I realized I hadn't opened my mouth. You know, even in the secular world, you expect people to do things, but how do you expect them to do it when you haven't communicated that thing? So it's important that we communicate it. It's important that we take the opportunity. Be careful of the words. Realize that there's power in every single word that we speak, but realize that it's important for us to speak and to communicate with each other. It's important that we communicate with God daily. We've got to communicate with God. As a matter of fact, He wants to communicate with us, but we need to put ourselves in a place to where we can hear Him, where we can talk, but also listen. You know, that's a great thing about communication. It's not about us always talking. Communication is also listening. Amen. So I want to give you some things that we need to start saying. You know, we've talked about the levels of communication, talked about the hindrances of communication, but there are also the plus, the good, the benefit side. They're the side that we need to say, okay, well, how do I communicate? What should I say? Well, there are seven things that we should say. The first one is praise. Now, when I say praise, it's not, oh, I'm going to praise you like I praise God. I'm not talking about worship. I'm talking about praise. I'm talking about edifying or building up. Sometimes people aren't doing all that they could do because they're not being praised for what they have done. You know, it's good to, when you've done something good, you should be praised for it. You should be, you know, that's a good job. Keep it up. Sometimes that's all that people need to hear in order to know that they're on the right track to doing more. Young Christians come in, they need to know that, you know, what you're doing, keep on doing. They need to be praised. Thank God that God is always there to infuse into us when we listen to give us the power that we have to succeed. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So what we're here to do is to give strength to one another, right? We're not here, I'm an island to myself, you're an island to yourself, so we all just kind of do our little thing here. And no, but we're here to encourage one another, to praise each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, I don't believe you have that, but make a note of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another. That's one thing that we're supposed to do, is to comfort and to edify one another. Build each other up. It's an instruction of the Bible. When you praise someone with their good deeds, it encourages them to keep moving forward. We need more praise in the church. We need more teamwork in the church. We need to come together and to see what God wants us to do together. You've heard me give illustrations of my mamma, my mama's mom. And mamma was always close to me growing up. As a matter of fact, mamma loved me so much that she never acknowledged me doing wrong. Now, I know that there were people in my life that did acknowledge it, and that's probably a good thing. I received correction, but my mamma was not one of them. It didn't matter what I did, she never saw me do wrong. As far as my mamma is concerned, I hung the moon. So if she asks you when you get to heaven, who really hung the moon, you'd say, Pastor Mike did. So she won't be disappointed. So, but no, she always was there to encourage me. She was always there to lift me up and to praise me. And I always knew Mamma was on my side. If I did something wrong, she always had her head turned. She wasn't looking. She loved me. But we need people like that in our life. Amen. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken, watch this, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So picture a silver bowl, solid silver bowl with solid gold apples in it. That represents our words. They should be beautiful and valuable. So every word that we speak should have beauty to it, and it should have value to it. And if we look at our words that way, how can I add to your life? How can I add beauty to your life? How can I bring encouragement and praise to your life? What can I say that will be beneficial to you? Yes, unfortunately, sometimes that means correction. Sometimes that means saying something that's hard to say, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But beauty and value is what we should say. Can you imagine the homes today that Christ is at the center of those homes? What a child hears at a young age. Ugly and negative words. And it takes, I don't know how many words it takes, but it takes a lot more words of positive to offset every one word of negative. And when you've got a child that's forming, that's being raised up in an ungodly home, you see what our world is made up of today. And so we should speak praise. The second thing we should speak is a thank you. A thank you. Even our hearts to Jesus should be thank you. Lord, I give you thanks. I come into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. That's That's having a thankful heart. Well, we should also do the same thing to each other. How much effort does it take to say thank you? Even when you do get sorry service, say thank you. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Some people would absolutely be shocked because some people know that the service wasn't that swift. But you said thank you anyway. Thank you. Proverbs 18, 21 and 22 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's huge. Death and life? That's extreme. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Say thank you instead of some of the other things that we could say. The third thing we should speak is affection. Affection. There have been studies done that little babies, little tiny babies, could be days old, responds and grows differently in an atmosphere of affection, a soft touch, I love you, than they do without that. It's proven. It's scientifically proven. Even people that don't even believe in Jesus, it's scientifically proven that an atmosphere of affection helps raise a more wholesome baby, more healthy. And so, I mean, you can hang around here less than 3 minutes and you're going to be told I love you, and you're going to have a soft touch, you know. You just have a group of loving people, and that's important. That's important for you to know that you are loved and that you are important. You're important to the kingdom of God. You're important to the people here. We want the best for you. And so it's important that we show affection. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's the love of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. That is, God is showing affection to you. He's saying, I love you. I'm not afraid to say I love you. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. It's important that you know that God loves you. The fourth thing that we should speak is encouragement. We've already touched on this, but encouraging words should help us to say, listen, keep going. You're heading in the right direction. I encourage you to stay there and to keep going. You know, sometimes people need, whether they're young or whether they're older, need to hear an encouraging word. I support you. I'm with you. I want to help you. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. There's that word again, edifying, building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, who's the originator of grace? God. God's the originator of grace, but we can actually impart grace to somebody by being encouragement to them. That's pretty awesome. God can use our words, what we speak out of our mouth, to be so good that it edifies someone, builds them up, so that it imparts grace. What's something that God originated? That's awesome. Encouragement is very important. The fifth thing that we should speak is kindness. Kindness. Sometimes we just need to be nice to people. I was pulling out, I was actually on Frederica Road, and of course you know some of the traffic, that's the construction and all that good stuff. Well, there was this guy that was trying to get out of one of the neighborhoods, and I was headed, I guess, south on Frederica Road, and it was bumper to bumper, bumper to bumper, and I honestly didn't see the guy, and so I pulled up, and there's a big truck in front of me, and it stopped, and I looked to my right, and he was sitting there, and he said, in other words, telling me to back up. I didn't cop an attitude. I looked in my rearview headroom, and I backed up. I did that, and he pulled out. He probably thought, man, I had an attitude when I did that to him, but yet he gave me the space to get in. He was probably shocked. I could have, you know, I could have been mad. I could have just sat there and said, no, sir, you're not. You need to change your attitude. I'm not about to let you in here. But thank God, God came through me. He said, let him in. And so we need to be kind. I don't know, some of you here that are my age and maybe a few years older, there was an old Glen Campbell song back in 1970. I mean, I was 4 years old. I don't know how I remember this, but a 1970 Glen Campbell song. And here's the first verse and chorus to that song. It says, if you see your brother standing by the road. Now, you would think that Glen Campbell was a Christian. He may have been, for all I know. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he'd sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of a narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. Isn't that good? Just show a little kindness. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath. See, we can escalate to the point to where we're justified because they said this to me, so I'm going to let them know just how much I don't like that. So I'm going to escalate just a little bit to let them know who I am. Well, what that does, it creates more wrath, it creates more anger, it gets hotter and it gets more bent. But we could use a soft answer. See, that goes against our human nature sometimes. A soft answer? Are you kidding me? Do you know what they did to me? That's our tendency. But a soft answer turns away wrath. How can we change the world by doing what the Bible says to? Can you imagine? Small things like that. Just putting our own feelings aside. I'm talking to me too. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The sixth thing that we should begin to speak is truth and love. This one is huge. Truth and love. How many times have you ever said or known somebody to say, well, it was the truth. I only spoke the truth. Sometimes we justify speaking the truth and not in love, but did you know that sometimes speaking the truth without love can cause damage? We've always got to speak truth in love. All the times, all the stories of Jesus himself walking this earth, the instructions that he gave, the advice that he gave, it was always hinged and founded in love. He never gave an instruction that was not attached to love. So sometimes we justify our own speech, whether it's to our children, whether it's to our neighbor. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth, blank, blank, blank. And so we justify saying that thing because it's the truth. Well, that doesn't necessarily justify it. Unless we speak it in love. Correction needs to be correct. We need to speak correction. I need to receive correction. And many times I need to receive correction. Sometimes there are times I need to give correction. But they both have to be done in love. If they're not done in love, then number one, they're not going to be received. And secondly, they can create damage. Truth and love. Ephesians 4:15 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. What does that mean? That means to mature, right? Speaking truth in love may grow up, may mature in all, say all things into him. Speaking of Jesus, who is the head, Christ. Truth and love. That is huge. That's huge. Just because it's truth doesn't necessarily mean we've got to say it unless we can say it in love. As a matter of fact, sometimes we come into people that they don't know Jesus. So we're trying to share the gospel with them, and a lot of times this happens in family. So we go to family and we say, okay, now this is the truth, and this is what you've got to do. To fix your problems, this is what you've got to do. But many times they don't receive that word, even though it's truth, they can't receive it because it wasn't given to them in love. And so all that does, all that happens to and come around to is me trying to manipulate the situation to where they hear what I'm trying to say and do what I want them to do. And that's wrong, because I'm not God, and I'm not the Holy Spirit. My job is to tell them truth and love, and then let's go eat roast. Let's go do something. Let's go fishing. Let's go play ball. Let's do something, and let the Holy Spirit then do the job that he can only do. Amen? So sometimes we take a little more responsibility than what we should, because we justify it in speaking the truth. Well, this is what you should do. Yes, it is, but it's got to be found. It's got to be spoken. It's got to be revealed in love. And then let God do his job. Remember in the first week we talked about love. Remember we talked about love is not manipulating. Love is not selfish. Love is not demanding. And love certainly is not intimidating. Amen. And lastly, things that we should communicate to each other is prayer. Prayer together. Praying together. What greater form of communication than that can we do than praying together? There is one person who has all the answers to any question we'll ever have. One person. And that's the one that we're praying to. Jesus Christ. God of the universe. The one who created us. The one who knows us. The one who made every living thing. Including babies. So he's the one that we pray to. And so whenever we need an answer, whatever we need to do, we should go to God. We should encourage prayer. I love, we've got some here this morning that the first need that you mentioned, let's pray. No need to talk, let's pray. I love that. I don't have a solution to it, but I know who one that does. He has a solution to it. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes situations. Prayer changes people. Prayer, because we open up a door to God to let him do what he wants to do. We can't say that God does everything if we don't allow him to. We can't say that, well, God is in control. Some things God isn't in control because we take over. If I go out there and ram my car into a tree, we can't say, well, God was in control. No, he wasn't. He had nothing to do with me ramming my car into a tree. That was me. So unless we allow him to have control in our life, he doesn't have control. Now, he can intervene. You know, God could do what he wants to do. But I'm saying we can't blame bad things on God just because we say he's in control. Some things we don't give him control over. Sometimes our own actions precede what God wants to do. God has a plan. God has a solution. God has an answer. God wants to bless. But can I hinder that? I can, by my actions. And so I go to God in prayer. Let's pray. That's why prayer is so important. We meet on Monday, we meet on Sunday morning. We have a time of prayer all through the week. Why? Because we know that he has the only answer. No matter what the best program or the best solution we can come up with, God's answer is always better than that. Always better. So prayer is what we need to start every single day with. Psalm 16, 8 and 9 says, I have set the Lord always before me. In other words, the Lord is always my priority, as I said earlier. I've always set the Lord before me. If we set him before us, he's always in front of us. We can always remember, well, you know what? My tendency is to do this, but the Lord is before me, and he's telling me to do this. He's telling me to go this way. We may not even understand the purpose for it. But we know that if he's caused us to go one way different than our own, we know that there's a good purpose for it. Amen? He's always got good for us. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. In other words, I will always be founded and I'll always be connected. I shall not be moved. I'll always be secure in him. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. I mean, just in this short passage right here, communication with God brings security, it says. It brings gladness. And gladness isn't based on circumstances. Gladness is based on who God is. Gladness, rejoicing. How many can rejoice when things aren't going so well? We can when we're praying, when we're connected to God. Rejoicing, rest. We all need not only physical rest, we need spiritual rest. Rest saying, God, I'm going to let you take care of this thing. You know, many times we're in turmoil and we're at wit's end because we want control over it. We want to do it our way, but we can rest in him knowing that he will do it, and he gives us hope, it says here. Our flesh also will rest in hope. Hope that everything will work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Hope in knowing no matter what you're facing, that things will be for the glory of God and things will work to your good. And so communication is important today. I believe that there's been a lack of communication sometimes in our lives, and the lack of communication has created things that we need healing from. Sometimes lack of communication brings hurt because, yeah, things can't be understood when there's lack of communication, but there could be times of communication to have encouraged us that was not there. And so sometimes, whether it was a father figure, whether it's a spouse, no matter what it was, there was lack of communication, and what it did, it left a scar there because we were disappointed in life. And we went through life, we've gone through life maybe a year, two, 10, 15, 20 years. Sometimes the communication wasn't there and it's left a scar of hurt, a scar of disappointment. That's how big communication is. So there's some of you here today that I believe that the Lord wants to touch. There are also others of you today that have been communicated with, but it's been the wrong form of communication. There's been a communication that words have been said to you that's been hurtful. Words has been said to you that you believe, that you took in, that you said, you know what? maybe that is true. Maybe I am good for nothing. Maybe I'm not going to have anything good to offer in life. So you've heard words through the years that it was spoken to you in anger, really out of hurt and insecurity of the other person that you've taken in that maybe you need healing from today too. So there's been some that have not received communication. There's others that received the wrong type, unhealthy communication. I believe the Lord wants to touch you today. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank you that you communicate clearly to us, Father. We have an entire word of promises and how you feel about us. John 3:16 alone lets us know how you feel, that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for every single one of us, God. Even before we were known, even before we were thought of, you loved us so much. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, Father, in this time of prayer, in this time of standing before you, Lord, that you'll bring healing to hearts. Lord, communication is so vital, it's so important. And God, teach us how to communicate. Teach us how to speak words of encouragement to each other. But Lord, there's some here today that needs to be healed. They need a touch, Father. There are some things that are stopping growth because either communication was not there or communication in the wrong way was given. Father, I pray for your grace today. If either one of these speak to you, if anything that I said this morning speaks to you and you feel like the Lord wants to touch you, just come stand here in the front with me. Just stand right here with me. We're just going to pray together. I believe as you step out and come forward, you're leaving that thing at your seat. You're detaching that hurt, that thing that has caused hurt to you. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I believe the Lord wants to bring healing today. I really believe that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Things are receive the word this morning as you stand in his presence. Lift your voices. Let's lift our hands to the heavens this morning to God. Just tell the Lord you love him right now. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we know the healing that we need today comes only from you. Lord, we love you. Jesus. 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 Just lift your hands this morning. Allow him to bring that healing that only he can bring this morning. It's flowing right now. I believe in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, pour it out right now, Lord. Pour out your healing right now. Stand in his presence.
Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus.
Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, you know every single need represented. You know every need, Lord, standing before me today. There is nothing bigger than you, Lord Jesus. There is nothing that's a challenge to you, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, I speak peace in Jesus' name. I speak peace. Lord, some are feeling like they're backed in a corner today, but Lord, I speak peace. Some feel like they're at the end of their rope, but Lord, I speak peace in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that as we come to the end of our rope, Lord, that's where you pick up. When we come to the end of ourself, God, that's where you're exalted. That's where you work the best. And Lord, I speak right now in Jesus' name into every life, into every situation, into every need in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you communicate clearly what you're capable of today. You said, all things are possible through you. Lord, that is clear communication. And Lord, today I pray that there be no weapon formed against these people that will prosper. God, that you break every chain that has deterred them, every chain that has held them back, every chain that has hindered them in any way. I pray, God, that it be broken by the power of Jesus Christ right now in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you have paid the price for freedom today in the hearts of these people. And Lord, I pray, God, that you infuse into them by your clear communication of love and touch. God, I thank you that today your word becomes alive, much more alive than it's ever been before in the hearts of these, Lord, today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, we do love you. And we thank you, God, that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Lord, I break every lie. Every lie in Jesus' name that has been told against these, Lord, I break it. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. Every word that's been negative that's been spoken to these, I break it off in the name of Jesus. Just let it go. Let it go right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you will take the place of that with your word of encouragement, with your word of love, with your word of power and of sound doctrine, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you do it right now, Father. Lord, I thank you that the days ahead will be greater than the days of the past in Jesus' name. That the success, Lord, will be so much greater than the days of the past, it will just blow our minds, God, because you are greater. There's greater that you can do in us, Lord. There's greater things you can do. And Lord, I pray that. I pray that we believe the word of the Lord today, that we loose and let go of any word that's not of you. And I pray that we'll hold on to your word today, God. May it be part of our lives, God. May we dream about it. May we eat it. May we drink it. May we walk it. Everything that we do, God, may it be hinged in you. And Lord, I pray for every physical need here as well, Father. Every physical need that will be met, healing in Jesus' name to take place, miraculous healing, Father. No matter what the need is, we lift it up to you. And thank you, Lord, that you are the Father of healing. You're the Father of miracles. And only you can do what needs to be done today, Father. We praise you and we thank you and give you thanks, Lord. Lord, may our lives be connected to you. May we hear your voice. May we hear your communication to us. And Lord, may we first and foremost communicate with you. Every need in our heart, everything that we have. Lord, I thank you that we can talk to you and not have to worry about offending you. You don't get a chip on your shoulder. Father, you are there to hear us and to encourage us and to love us. Lord, and that we can be honest with you. And Father, you can put your hand upon us and say, listen, let's go forward. Just like you did Gideon. Gideon was discouraged. Gideon thought he was at the end. Gideon thought he was nothing. But Lord, you said you are a great, mighty man of God, Gideon. And so Lord, I speak that over every life today. Over every ear, over every mind, every spirit. You are great. You are great. And there are great things for you to do in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his great and awesome peace in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for being here.